Welcome everyone to the Firing the Man podcast, a show for anyone who wants to be their own boss. If you sit in a cubicle every day and know you are capable of more, then join us. This show will help you build a business and grow your passive income streams in just a few short hours per day. And now your hosts, serial entrepreneurs, David Schomer and Ken Wilson.
Welcome back to the Firing the Man podcast, where we talk to bold thinkers, risk takers, and business builders who are taking control of their future and rewriting the rules of success. Today's guest is a powerhouse of purpose and transformation. We're excited to welcome Rebecca Elizabeth Whitman, an award-winning life coach, best-selling author, entrepreneur, and host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. Rebecca is on a mission to help high-achieving women and entrepreneurs go from burnout to balance without sacrificing ambition. She blends mindset mastery, spiritual principles, and practical business wisdom to help her clients create aligned, fulfilled, and wildly successful lives. Named one of the top seven entrepreneurs to watch in 2023 by LA Weekly, Rebecca's work has been featured across ABC, CBS, and in publications like Yahoo Finance and Authority Magazine. But what makes her message so powerful is her transparency. She's been through the grind, the hustle, and the heartache, and she's here to share the real path to sustainable success. If you're building a business but tired of burning out or wondering how to scale without losing yourself, this conversation is for you. Let's dive in. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here. That was a beautiful intro. Thank you for those kind words.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to start things off, can you share with our audience a little bit about you and your background and path in the entrepreneurial world?
Absolutely. Well, I graduated from Princeton University with honors. I moved to New York City. I thought I wanted to work in entertainment, and they told me I would be an unpaid intern. So I said, if I'm not going to get paid, I might as well be an actress. And I started taking acting classes. And to support myself, I answered an ad in ancient history when you actually answered ad in the paper, and it was for a direct sales job. That took me on a merry chase of 20 different cities all over the Midwest and Southeast. From there, I went to an internet startup company, and I finally had enough money to move to LA to pursue my acting dream for real in 2001. I had small parts on big shows like Friends, CSI, and 24, and I supported myself in an all-commission sales job. I started to get bored with that after 20 years, and then I started different side hustles. So I started a podcast that you mentioned called The Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I started coaching. I became a best-selling author. And now I just added promoting wellness products and luxury wellness retreats to my repertoire of different side hustles. So that is my philosophy. I believe everyone should have at least 3 to 5 streams of income.
Very nice. I'm looking forward to diving into that. And you know what? Why don't we? 3 to 5 streams of income. Why do you pick that number? And where have you seen not having that causing an issue in somebody's life?
Well, Grant Cardone says 7 to 10 streams of income. I think that's a lot to handle for most people. I like 3 to 5 because remember, David, when we were in high school and college, we had those 5 subject notebooks, math, science, English, history, social studies. So I feel like our minds are trained to handle 3 to 5 different subjects. And we had different homework, different exams to study for, and we could compartmentalize those subjects. And I feel like having different businesses in that range of 3 to 5 businesses is something that people can actually enjoy without getting overwhelmed. It came in especially handy for me during the pandemic because I lost my job at the kids' acting school. But I still had my coaching business. I own real estate in LA, rental properties, and with the coaching business and the rental properties, and then I added promoting wellness products to that, I was still able to sustain a good lifestyle, even though I lost my main stream of income.
Absolutely. I think that's something that a lot of people went through in the pandemic and losing that primary source of income. I remember I was working at a CPA firm, which I believe to be a very conservative choice for a career. Like, there will always be a job for a CPA. And I had mentors being laid off. And I realized, oh, maybe I am not as safe as I thought. And so I think that 3 to 5 is very manageable. And yeah, I really like that answer. So as I mentioned in the intro, I am a big fan of your podcast. And one of the things that I've listened to you talk about is the 7 pillars of abundance, a framework for success. And so my question is, what are those 7 pillars? And how can time-strapped entrepreneurs start applying that framework without slowing their momentum?
I love your 2-part questions. And thank you for being a fan of the podcast. It makes me so happy. So the 7 pillars of abundance framework is a way to live your life through alignment and to overcome burnout. And they are in order of importance, in my opinion. So the first area is spirituality. I'm a huge believer in having a morning practice, having a relationship with the divine, whatever you call it, God, Jesus, Allah, universe, nature, dogs, whatever, anything that's not you that you can have faith in and commune with. And I believe having a morning connection sets the tone for your day. The second pillar is physical or health and fitness. And my fitness is a non-negotiable. I believe that health is wealth. And when you have health, you have every business opportunity, love opportunity, social opportunity at your fingertips. But when you lose your health, your whole life is about getting your health back. And some people don't ever get it back. So that is a priority. The third pillar of abundance after health is emotion. And I believe that all emotions come from scarcity or abundance. So in our own conversation, either externally with other people or in our own inner dialogue, we can be saying, there's not enough time, there's not enough money, there's not enough clients, there's, you know, it's a recession, you know, the stock market crashed. Or we can be like, there's plenty of time, there's plenty of money, stocks always go back up, there's plenty of clients. So it's about switching from scarcity to abundance, because if you're in a scarcity mindset, you have no hope of attracting more money or more clients. The next pillar after emotion is romance. And romance does affect your finance. I don't believe in neutral energy. You either have a partner who is lifting you up and supporting your business goals, or they're dragging you down and draining your energy and detracting from your goals. So if you have someone who's neutral, to me, that is the same thing as negative. You want to have a partner that believes in you, cheers you on, and lifts you up. After romantic is social, and having a group of people that have what you want and that are willing to teach you what they did is crucial. So whether you have a mastermind that you're in, a coach, you're part of any networking groups or clubs, having that network is so important in the business world. Because when you're a lone entrepreneur trying to figure out by yourself, everything by yourself, it can be really lonely and really difficult. After social is financial. And financial is just one way of having abundance. People think I'm an abundance coach. I teach financial. Finance is the last piece of the puzzle. When you have a spiritual practice, when you have friends, when you're emotions are high vibe and of abundance, when you have a great romance, you are going to attract people, places, opportunities, businesses. Case point, I attracted you to me. I didn't go after you and say, can I be on your podcast? You came to me and asked me, can you be on my podcast? And that is when you become magnetic. And that's why I call myself the Magnetic Abundance Mentor, because I teach people how to align their life in these 7 areas. And instead of hustle and grind, you can magnetize financial opportunities.
I really like that perspective. And one of the things that some people may have thought of, the 7 pillars of abundance may have been standard operating procedures. It may have been looking at your P&L or balancing cash flow statements, but it was really all of the things that surround business, like surround you as the entrepreneur. And I like how you put those in order. And And so looking at that framework, where do you think a lot of entrepreneurs go sideways?
The three big ones are money, health, and romance. So I think entrepreneurs either get so hyper-focused on their business that they don't have time to date, or they neglect their family and their loved ones, or they get sidetracked, like they get in a negative relationship and they put all their energy in the relationship and saving it, and their business falls by the wayside. Or they put all their energy into their business and they let their health go, and then they don't have the energy or the vitality to get to the next level of their business, because energy is the number one thing, other than money, that fuels a business. If you're exhausted and tired all the time, you're not going to have enough energy to get your business to the next level.
Yeah, I really like that. And what would you say are some like early warning signs that my life is out of balance and I need to course correct?
Those would be just exhaustion, not wanting to get out of bed in the morning, addiction, avoidance, like not wanting to open your bills when they come in the mail, or not wanting to answer the phone because you think it might be a creditor. Just a feeling of overwhelm, like I can't get everything done that I need to get done. Feeling of hopelessness, like I don't know what to do. I'm just going to end up like being homeless or working at Starbucks because I can't figure this thing out. I mean, those are all signs that you're either in burnout or on the road to burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I would say there's a lot of people listening that have, and myself included, have definitely went through one of those. I personally let my bills stack up. I hate checking my mail. I'm sitting at my desk looking at a pile of mail right now. So it's funny that you mentioned that one. But no, those are good warning signs.
You can write thank you on your bills, because when you thank money for being there, that you have enough money to pay your bills, even if you don't write thank you on the bills, because money is just energy. And when you have a dreadful relationship with it, you're pushing it away instead of welcoming it. And think of money as like, if money was a lover, and you'd be like, oh, my lover's here today. Oh God, I do not want to see them. They're just like so annoying. Then they're not going to keep coming around. So we get to change our relationship with money, take the negative emotion out, and it's just energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things as you were going through the seven pillars, I thought you had a very cool take on spirituality. It's just believe in something.
Anything that's not you.
Right. And it seems to me like spirituality oftentimes comes from your parents. It's something that you kind of brought up either in a religion or whatever it may be. And so for those listeners who don't have a spiritual practice, but know that it's important and want to develop one, what would be a good way to take that first step?
I would say to set aside time in the morning to just practice any kind of ritual. It could be a ritual around your coffee or tea, just holding it, feeling the warmth, just being still, even if it's just for a few seconds, taking deep breaths. I'm a huge believer in journaling. A lot of high performance studies have shown that people who journal and write down and process their reality, they do a lot better in life, because they are actually like speeding up the process, and what you write down goes into your subconscious. So I actually have a gift for your audience. I have a free abundance journal that has really helped me take my negative thinking and turn it into positive. So it's been my number one tool. I have journaled every day for 30 years, and it has turned me into a very positive thinker. But my default can go back to negative. Like I just completed a very, in my opinion, toxic real estate deal. Like they just kept asking me for more and more and more. And it's went from a seller's market in LA, where I just moved from, to a buyer's market. And I was just like, I just wanted to sell my condo and be done and start my new life in Cincinnati. It's like, can you do the floors? Can you do the paint? I don't like the color paint. Can you paint again? Oh, by the way, at the end, when everything's signed and sealed, nobody told me that I was paying $10,000 for the seller's, for the buyer's closing cost. I got very toxic and negative, but resilience is not about never getting down. It's how fast you can bounce back up. So through this journal practice and through having a spiritual practice, even though I did go completely negative, I was able to be positive the next day and show up and, you know, be my best self. So that's the difference.
I really like that. And it seems like as business owners, you are often met with those types of challenges almost on a weekly basis. I can tell you as a business owner, it seems like all the problems come to me. All the problems that can't be solved funnel up to me. And that can be taxing at times. And so can you talk a little bit about that mindset shift and maybe talk about that real estate deal? What was it that you were saying to yourself the next morning or what were some things that you were thinking that helped take that toxic situation and turn it into a positive?
Well, I was in victim mode, like, you know, oh, why couldn't I have sold it, you know, 2 years ago when LA was a seller's market and, you know, I'm so upset that the economy has tanked. And I was just, oh my God, this buyer's like, you know, taking advantage of me because she knows I need to sell it. So I was in a victim conversation and then I had to switch it from victim to victor. Like, hey, I walked away with almost $200,000. That's amazing. Like, that's almost like 2 years of work. And I got to live in this beautiful condo 3 miles from the ocean. And I had so many happy memories. And I used every inch of the condo for having like the best lifestyle I could in LA. And I had 3 beautiful dogs and I had 2 marriages in the condo. And it was great. And not everybody gets a chance to walk away from a real estate deal in the plus. And if I would not have bent over backwards to accommodate this person, who knows how long it would have been until I sold it again. And my mortgage was, with all the HOA dues and the taxes, was over $4,000 a month. And the money that I, extra money that I had to spend on fixing it up for her and paying her closing costs, I mean, in 3 months of just having the condo empty, I would have been paying more than that anyway. So that's an example of how I took my negative thinking and reframed it to positive.
Is there a practice, because you say victim mode, and I think everybody, I was in victim mode last night as I was complaining to my spouse about something going on at work. Is there a particular practice or something that you do to kind of call that out or bring it to the surface when you feel that coming on? Because I think it's a natural response.
Sure. Well, I would like to challenge everybody listening, including you, David, to do a 24-hour no complaining challenge from the second that you listen to me say this to 24 hours later. Challenge yourself to not complain for 24 hours. And every time you hear yourself complaining, reframe it and switch it into positivity and to affirming whatever it is that you want to achieve. Because I think complaining, it is natural. It is part of being an entrepreneur because it's a harder path, but it does create neural pathways in our mind. And we get used to complaining. And we can really, through a lot of mental discipline, change these neural pathways. So I have a framework called the 4 A's of transformation. And let's use, for example, what were you complaining about last night, David?
A particular employee and them not understanding instructions that I've provided several times.
Okay. So the 4 A's of transformation are as follows. The first A is awareness. I am being negative and complaining about this employee. That's the first A, awareness. The second A is acceptance. Don't beat yourself up. Don't say, you know what? I've been listening to Rebecca's Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show, and I know better than to complain to my wife because I'm just going to attract more negative employees. And I can't believe I'm complaining about this person again and giving them free rent in my mind. So don't judge yourself, just accept it that you're in a negative conversation about this employee. The third A is action. What can I do? Can I, send this person an email and say, I'd like to take you to coffee tomorrow? Can you set up a Zoom and say, I'd like to do a performance review? Can I, talk to their supervisor and set up a meeting with the three of us? Like, what can I do? What action can I take? And then the fourth A is affirmation. Every time I want to complain about this employee, first of all, if you want to keep them, you still can fire them because you're the boss. But if you do want to keep them, you can say an affirmation like so-and-so is doing the best that he or she can with the knowledge, strength, and awareness that he has. Or something like if you want to attract a different type of employee, you can say, I love my low maintenance, intelligent employees, something like that.
I like it. I like it. And that very exercise would have put me in a totally different headspace last night than I was. And so I really like that, the four A's. Continuing the conversation about just mindset and entrepreneurs, I have found, and I fall into this category for sure, is getting stuck into hustle mode. Where you have a list of things as long as your arm that you'll never get done on time or as quickly as you'd like. It seems that a lot of problems come back to you. And I have met, and I personally have had periods of time through my entrepreneurial journey where I've been in a dark spot. And so speaking to our entrepreneurial audience, what are some ways to get out of that grind mindset and more into an abundance type mindset without sacrificing growth? Because I think a lot of the sources of pain are, I want to grow. I want to succeed. I'd like to make more money. I'd like to provide more opportunities for my employees. Or maybe that's just the mental gymnastics that you go through to justify pulling all-nighters. But what would be your thoughts on that transformation?
I mean, even though my podcast is called Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant, I don't believe that you can have all seven areas of life perfectly balanced. I teach time management kind of like a HIIT training class, high intensity interval training. So if you are familiar with that kind of a workout, when you're doing your interval, you're either like lifting weights or doing cardio and it's really, really intense. And then you take like a 30 or 45 second break and then you go back and you do another set of exercise. So I tell my business coaching clients to structure their week that way. When you are in a focus mode, you are focused, you are pedal to the metal, you are not taking anything but business calls, you are completely like going for it and applying all your energy, but then you want to take a break and then come back to it. So I really like the Pomodoro method, 25 minutes of concentrated effort and a 5-minute break. That helps prevent burnout. And then as far as just how to set up your whole week so you don't burn out, you want to have your focus days where you are pedal to the metal. Like you could have one day or 2 days a week where you are working, 8 or 10 hours in a row, but then you have at least one other day, or if you don't even have the one day, have a half day where you just have your own schedule and you kind of just break up your week that way so you don't burn out. I like to schedule the harder meetings first thing in the morning when you have more energy. And, the things that take a lot of energy, get those out of the way in the first half of the day. And then you can do some of the other things and later on in the day that don't take as much energy. And then I believe in the 3 D's, do it, delegate it, or ditch it. So when somebody texts you and it's an important text or email, I don't know about you, David, but I get thousands of like emails in a day. And if I don't respond to it, it gets completely buried. So I say, if it's really important, like a paying client, like a money call, return the text or the email in the moment. It'll take you 30 seconds and it'll be done. Delegate it if you have enough money to delegate. And it sounds like you have a big team. So delegate to somebody on your team, quickly send them an email, forward the email. Can you handle this? Or ditch it. Like if it's just something that is mundane and you think you should be doing it, but it's not really moving your ball forward in the court, just get rid of it.
I really like that. I really like that. What would you say are some things that you should not outsource? Things that, you know, as you're running your business that you should remain hands-on?
That is a great question. I think anything that showcases your story and your brand, because people will buy from you if they understand your story and if they understand your brand. So I wouldn't delegate your social media so much that you're never like talking on it. It's just like graphics of other people. It should definitely take some time to create your own content and your own voice, do some stories. As far as emails, I do delegate a lot of emails. ChatGPT is my friend. I don't love emails, but I've also trained ChatGPT to totally understand my voice. So like my ChatGPT, I call her Wing Woman and she totally gets me and she gets my tone and my voice. So she like has me impersonated in a great way. So yeah, I have ChatGPT do my emails, but I think any content, talking, podcasts, stages, stories, all that stuff, it should not be delegated.
I think that's, I really like that. And on the, particularly on social media, I know that has been one thing in the past that I have outsourced, and we just haven't gotten the result that I would have hoped, because it wasn't my voice or, you know, as the owner of the brand, I really understood it. I really understood the customer, and it seems like things do get lost in translation. And so on the email management, I haven't met an entrepreneur that isn't a little bit overwhelmed with their email. Any pro tips on using AI or tools that make that delegation easier?
My email is so unmanageable. I probably have at least 65,000 unread emails and it's unmanageable. I mean, literally, you buy a cup of coffee somewhere and you end up on their email list. So I wouldn't be the right person to ask. I mean, my email's unmanageable. If you want to get me, text me. Don't email me or send me a DM on social. I manage my own DMs. I do. I just left MailChimp and I switched to Go High Level. And I really like Go High Level because there's so many different things it can do. It can text. You can have a membership, landing page. I just feel like that is going to be next level for me and my team to learn all the facets of Go High Level. So that's what I'm doing with my email.
Very nice. Yeah, I also am in the tens of thousands of emails. And yeah, listeners, if you have anything, post it in the comments. We'd love those pro tips. So
yeah.
Can you share a client transformation story that really illustrates how balancing life outside of business actually helped the business scale faster?
I had a client and she reached out to me because she was not able to set boundaries with her boss. Her boss ran a $1 billion private equity firm and she was the right-hand woman to her boss and she was living in his pool house and basically on call 24/7 because he was paying her more money than she had ever made. So through my coaching, she set boundaries. She actually had a work schedule. These are the hours that I'm available. She moved off his property. She got her own beautiful house. And you would think she'd be able to do less work for the boss, but she just planned this amazing party for the company for their 30 years anniversary of being in business. And she had a huge budget. So she booked a big band, Aerosmith. Aerosmith asked if she could use this, if they could use this to promote their charity, Janie's Fund. And she said yes. Then they invited someone from Cheap Trick, someone from the Black Crowes, someone from Guns N' Roses. And this party that was supposed to be just the 30th anniversary party turned into this huge multi-million dollar charity event. It's in Rolling Stone. So all of that came from this incredibly high performance from this executive assistant, all came from her ability to say no to her boss at the beginning and move away from him. So you'd think that the opposite would happen, but she excelled. And now she's like she's a rock star in the event planning world now.
Outstanding. That is a really, really good story. Who are the types of clients that you typically work with?
I love to work with high achieving women and a few good men who are burned out, overwhelmed, feel like they are hustling and grinding and not getting the results. They feel stuck at a plateau and they don't know what they're doing wrong. And I am committed to giving these type of people the tools to have all seven areas of their life in alignment so they can achieve success while actually being happy and achieve it through aligning in these seven key areas of life and not through the hustle and the grind.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, before we wrap up the show, we have something called the fire round. It's four questions that we ask every guest at the end of the show. Are you ready?
I love this stuff. Yeah, bring it.
All right. What's your favorite book?
The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And the agreement that I work on every day is not to take things personally, because as an entrepreneur, you hear a lot of no and a lot of rejection. And it's a lifelong mission for me to not take things personally.
Very nice. What are your hobbies?
My hobbies are tennis, my obsession with labs. I'm on my third lab. I've had a yellow, a chocolate, and now I have my black lab, and working out with my husband. We love to lift weights together.
Very nice. What is one thing that you do not miss about working for the man?
I have not worked for the man my entire life. I have been an entrepreneur or an all commission, 100% commission salesperson my whole life. And I have avoided working for the man because I have a very rebellious nature. And the number one most important thing to me is my freedom. And I have created my life to maximize my freedom. Sometimes it's been a little scary. You know, we talked about, there's a roller coaster of sometimes, you know, there's too much month left over at the end of the money. But in general, I have had more than enough abundance and I've had a lot of fun on this wild roller coaster.
I have to say, out of 282 episodes, you are, we'll call you a unicorn. I think there's only been two or three other people who have never worked for the man. So applause to you. And it's good for people to know that that's a path, that you don't need to fire the man if you never go to work for them. So outstanding.
Thank you.
Final question. What do you think sets apart successful entrepreneurs from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
Successful entrepreneurs have a no matter what attitude. They will figure it out no matter what. They won't quit no matter what. They will find the right mentors, whether they're watching YouTube videos, listening to awesome podcasts like Firing the Man, or doing a coaching program. Like, they just have a no matter what attitude. And it's like they're gonna figure it out or die trying, and they won't give up.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, if people are interested in getting in touch with you or working with you through your coaching program, what's the best way?
Yeah, I would love to offer you guys that abundance journal. It's been my number one tool for transformation. That is going to be in a link that I will be sending you, David, called pillar.io/Rebecca E. Whitman. It's also in my Instagram bio. Everything that I have going on is in my pillar link. I have a really fun challenge called the 777 challenge, 7 pillars of abundance in 7 days. And I give you a quick 5 to 10 minute assignment to align that life and take it from where you're at to a level 10. And it'll definitely transform your life in 7 days. And then I also offer a free breakthrough call to help you get your personalized affirmation. So whichever area you feel stuck, kind of like I walked David through, you will get that personalized affirmation to get you unstuck. So all of that is in my pillar link. You can find me on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman, LinkedIn and Facebook under Rebecca Whitman.
Outstanding. And to our audience, I will post links to all of that in the show notes. Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you, and thank you for your time today. And we're looking forward to staying in touch.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, David. It's been a great conversation.